Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community. This evening, we're going to have the Black Community News Forum, and Professor Amin Ra is going to be hosting. So let's go with Professor Amin Ra. Take over for us, Honorable Professor.
All right. Well, hey, first of all, we got to start with good news and front line. I want to start with this brother named Edison Arantes do Nascimento. Anybody know who that is?
Nope.
He's one of the greatest persons that ever played soccer. That's Pele's name.
Oh, yeah, I know Pele.
Yeah, Pele, that's his nickname. His real name is Edison Arantes do Nascimento. As you know, he made his transition. But because of his Black excellence as a soccer player, he revolutionized soccer. He did what soccer, what Ali did for boxing, what Tiger did for golf, and what the Williams sisters did for tennis. And I mean, this brother, once these people were fighting a war, they stopped the war so that they could play the soccer game to see him play. That's how bad he was. You know, so we appreciate that goodness that he brought in the world. May none be left, and may he always be forever remembered. And they had a big old, they had to go to a stadium for his funeral service. And I mean, it was like a head of state in Brazil. You see what I'm saying? And it's just a beautiful thing to see the commemoration of a brother like that, who meant so much to so many people, and was respected around the world for his contribution as an athlete, but also as a person that dealt with political issues and cultural issues in Brazil, and just a brother that stood out. The second good thing is this brother named Hank Willis Thomas. He's, along with the Mass Design Group, they're designing for Martin Luther King a tribute in a park in Boston with just him and a Coretta hand and arms. Nobody, just their hand and arms signifying the love they had for each other. He got that notion when Martin Luther King won the Nobel Peace Prize and Coretta was there and they embraced. And then he saw how they just hugged each other. So he got the arms and the hands looking like they're hugging each other. And it was just a beautiful thing to see this brother design. It's going to be one of the biggest monuments in Massachusetts. So we really appreciate Brother Hank Willis for the design and for the commemoration, which is coming up this Monday as a holiday. His birthday is Sunday. And there are going to be parades. There are going to be discussions. There's streets named after this brother and his contribution. And we're going to dedicate an in-depth part of our show to his contribution to the civil rights movement and his contributions to human rights movement also. So he was a role model for young people to emulate, and as far as character is concerned, irrespective of all the efforts by COINTELPRO to sabotage his name, demonize his name, and accuse him of adultery and all kind of stuff and plagiarism and everything that they could throw at him, even assassinations and bombing of his home because of heresy. Heresy is the way you think, you know, and the power of his mind to unite people and create a strong religious movement for civil rights with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, him and Ralph David Abernathy. But he also inspired other ministers to step up, C.J. Bivens and Shatterfield and just an entree of different ministers to come from behind the pulpit. Dr. Kyle did say that a pulpit is like a tar pit for most ministers. They're just stuck in it. But to come out of it, and he was criticized. Because many of the ministers, that's what his letter from the Birmingham jail was to black ministers in Birmingham, who was criticizing him from coming there, saying he was a troublemaker. But anyway, this is monument is supposed to be big. But this is the one I really like. You saw the devil's trying to choose a speaker of the house. The sister that was trying to manage and control them wild devil was a sister named Cheryl Jackson Johnson. She's the first black woman to be the clerk of the Congress. Nancy Pelosi appointed her or got her nominated and voted in. And she only served the term that Congress was in the majority. So she, I don't think she's there anymore. But if you watch any of it, there was a sister that was trying to keep them from killing each other and rolling. And she went to Howard and she got a law degree from Howard. I mean, you got the vice president from Howard. You got the Supreme Court judge that went to Howard. So, you know, that's a good thing to uplift the historical black colleges from that standpoint. So we really appreciate Sister Cheryl Jackson. Then they're still struggling in Jackson, Mississippi about the water. The people are resilient to make it with bad water. And then they found another issue with the water just recently. And so they are demonstrating and demanding ecological justice in Jackson, Mississippi. You don't see none of the demonstrations or none of the movement that they are doing, but they're filing suits. And Chokwe Lumumba, the black mayor, is really spearheading a lot of that movement. So I really appreciate that effort that he pushed through and things of that nature. So, Machinda, anything happening in Louisiana?
You know, Louisiana's the state, the government, the politics, you know, they support, you know, some of that racketeering he was watching, you know, when they were trying to get the guy McCarthy in over 16, 17 times or whatever, I guess. So they finally 15. Got the man in. It was 15. Okay. Yeah, I lost count. But at the end of the day, I'm saying that, yeah, I was aware the woman, I think she was from New Orleans originally, Louisiana somewhere, maybe New Orleans, the lady you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I heard them, you know, and so, but anyway, Louisiana, like I say, the young brother won the mayoral campaign recently. He was installed. I went to the swearing in. Then they had a little parade for him, and then they had a ball, inaugural ball. It was pretty nice. I went to it. It was a black tie affair, and I just went there to support the young brother because, you know, I usually don't get involved with that, to be honest. I mean, I grew up in it, you know, and been a part of a lot of political scenes, but in a nutshell, he's from a different generation. And, you know, I think that's what it's going to take. Somebody from the younger generation to make some serious change as far as on these grassroots levels with this local crime and things, you know, things that's going on with young kids in the community, things like that. So he's at an age where he can relate to the group, you know, more so. But then with the elderly, with the elders giving him support, you know, he's created a cabinet and an administration where he's appointed people in his, you know, in his administration, and he's got some folks around him, you know, and a couple of white folks he got in there too as well, you know, to not only balance it, but some of them that kind of supported him politically and also gave, you know, and they got some a wealth of experience in certain things. So, but overall, he has a black cabinet, and he's got a majority council, four black women. They were elected. two at large and two from districts, and so that was a plus. So anyway, it's exciting from that standpoint. I think that hey, there's some potential there to do. You know, all I'm looking for is some growth. You know, some growth, and if he can produce growth or help propel growth, you know, with the assistance of everybody else, you know. So anyway, that happened over the past weekend, and then let's see, they had a famous. Well, she's famous in these parts. Well, you heard of Robin Roberts, you know, the basketball. I guess she played basketball. She's on ESPN. Her sister Sally Ann Roberts. She's a retired newscaster. She's the one that came in and did a swearing in. She came from New Orleans to do that for him. So they had a pretty professional situation. And so, like I say, I don't get too deep into the politics sometimes. I mean, I try to do what I can to make growth. But in this case, I can say I supported the situation. And I continue to link the educational resources, you know, to the city, you know, since. So I'm going to have a meeting with him myself, you know, in the near future to, you know, because it's all about trying to, get these youngsters some skill sets. And not just youngsters, anybody that's in need, so they can upgrade their game, you know, and take it to another level. And I see people change their lives every day. Well, every graduation, and you know that I'm talking to the choir. You know, I get preached to the choir, whatever the preachers, you know, because you know, at graduation, when you see the, you know, from the, you know, the impact that you had on them, and then when it's time for them to go, you know, so it's kind of like it's a must needed. Resource, you know, to be put out there on a mass scale, not just with school boards and all that, but actually bring the council. I tried to talk to a councilwoman about, you know, using her robo. She has a robocall where she can robocall the citizens. Well, you know, let's advertise the school. But you know, a lot of times, I don't know. It's you know, hey, that's a school thing, and I'm a, you know, this is a city thing. So, but. You know, I'm gonna, you know, do my best to get with this guy, and I know every council. I know all the council. I know them all personally, as far as you know, I've met them. You know, so and I know them. So, see, good things should happen out of that. You know, just for the citizens. You know, because this is a, you know, it's a lot of blacks in this town. You know, and we're gonna try to increase that. You know, but other than that, you know, the struggle continues. You know, doing positive things every day. I can report, like I said, you know, getting people signed up for school, and trying to learn something. And we have things available that they graduate in it, they can go get a job making, you know, like I say, change their life, you know, versus as far as income goes. And so, but that's it, really. I don't have any other.
What you said was excellent because this ties into some of the major discussion we're gonna have after we get through with this about
Okay,
politics.
yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna come
Well,
back. Arashiki Key.
yeah, so Damar Hamlin, the guy that got injured on the football field, he's at home. He's doing his rehabilitation at home. That was good news. Glad to hear the brother is progressing well. And then also, Brother Barry Thomas, a affiliate of yours, Professor Rye, and mine, he alerted me of a black news channel. Well, not news channel, but on Channel 13 in
Yeah,
Los
it's
Angeles.
black news. It's what it's called, black news.
Yeah.
They went through about three or four reporters that was on the show. I've been watching it for about a year almost. But go
Yeah.
ahead.
So that's good to see. And now that I'm alerted to that, I'm recording it. It comes on 5 p.m. Pacific time in Los Angeles. So that's some good news to know that we have a news hour that's dedicated to black people and their causes. So
They switched. At first, they started out with real radical, then they got into just social issues and having comedians on and having that talk show talk and stuff like that. And then they went back to some news, and then now they got just two people, a sister and a dude that they really covered some news about black people shooting and challenges. So that's good, black news. But it's put on by Fox. So, you know, what can you say? What about you, Brother Joe? Okay, again, let me just tell you about Hamilton. What you brought up, Arashiki?
There you go, Joe. Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hey, I was on mute. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, I was going to say this. That wasn't just his recovery that was remarkable. It was remarkable that black athletes chose not to play the game. And that's the front line, you understand? They didn't want to give them credit for taking that position that they couldn't play right now because their heart and mind was on their brother. And that was on both sides of the team. And then the whites tried to act like they called the game and that they did all that. And a few whites joined in. But the point is, it was the brothers because they make up the majority of the football players. And they just took a position, you know, and they were saying that. Years ago, they would just say, hey, call us and let us know what happened. We're going to finish the game. The players would have took that position. But that's a way of consciousness that I think goes all the way back to Coleman, the brother that from San Francisco 49ers that they whiteballed, and the role of Black Lives Matter, and all of those things have brought a conscious, partly consciousness of some pro athletes. And I think, I don't know, maybe some of y'all saw it different, but I saw that as a part of resistance to management and the owners who wanted to play the game, but they resisted, saying, no, you know, we can. But anyway, Big Joe?
Yeah. Going back to the initial stuff about King, I just wanted to give a little shout out to some ministers who laid the foundation for him. Like Willis Huggins, William Edward Blyden. Those were some radical ministers in the late 1880s. And a brother who King replaced at the church, Brother Vernon Johns, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did a movie, a documentary on Vernon Johns and how radical he was before, you know, the movement really got started. He was going in white restaurants and demanding that they serve him and all of that. And he was growing, had the church growing their own crops and operating and, you know, selling their own goods from the church. And then he got fired like 40-something times from different churches. But he was well-versed in Greek and Hebrew and, you know, a real scholarly brother, but termed to be real radical, you know, for being fired so many times. And he didn't buy up into that. I remember one, I guess he was in the pulpit talking about his rabbit season and how a man was fined for shooting a rabbit out of season. And then he started, but when it come to black people, you know, we always in season, you know, and it shook up the church, you know, leadership. They didn't want no radical stuff like that because they didn't want to rock the boat. I know y'all don't like rocking the boat. He said, but I'm a boat rocker. And anyway, he got fired. And King, they brought King in to replace him back at whatever that church, the first church King was the pastor of. And let me say this about what's happening. Well, let me deal with Jackson, Mississippi first. One of my players from Linwood, Rob, I don't know if you remember a kid named Kali Williams. But he's down and helped his brother Lumumba get elected. And they had the some kind of Malcolm X Center down there where they were growing their own food and doing a lot of stuff like that. And I'm sure he's all up in that water thing because that's the type of brother he is. He left Linwood and went up to UC Davis and started a radio show up there. And he was on the FBI most wanted list and all of that. He was taking kids to Africa on tours and whatnot. But what I want to wrap up with is what's happening locally right here. which I'd like for the listeners to get involved with, is the homelessness situation in Compton and LA area. It's a brother named Luther Keith. Everybody calls him Boo. And Rasha Key, I don't know if you ever met Boo, but he used to be around Centennial a lot. He worked with the gang units and all of that. When I was coaching, he used to always bring me guys that was fresh out of camp, you know, to get on the football team. But anyway, he has a street homeless ministry called Central Urban Ministries, and he's really helping out the homeless in a serious way. And I'm trying to get all the support I can behind the brother with clothes and shoes and money and food, you know, because he's really doing a good work. They even had him on Channel 7 News a couple of months ago about what he was doing. So just want to give a shout out and props to that brother and lend him our support, because believe it or not, mostly all the homeless downtown on Skid Row is black. They're almost all black. And I don't know how many black people know that, but we need to get behind efforts like that and try to help us out. I know, because, you know, we're only strong as our weakest link. So I just want to give a shout out to that brother. And that's about it.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. We got to get Boo on our show. So if you get contact, we want him to come on and talk about, you know, what he thinks causes homelessness, how people can help. And to support his ministry, support his movement, but working with the homeless and providing for them. I know I'm going to clean my closet out, and I got a bunch of clothes I'm going to be giving away.
Matter of fact, Ron, if I can cut you off for a second, I just pulled up his number, and you give him a call, and he'll come by and get whatever items that you're willing to donate. But his number is 323 area code.
Mm-hmm.
392-6394. And he's currently working at King Drew High School.
But what's his name again?
His name is Luther Keith. Everybody calls him Boo. I believe his father is a minister around in Compton, the South Central somewhere, but I've been knowing him for ever since I came to work at Centennial in 1990. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to work with the gang units around in Compton and South Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to also, well, we're going to support him, like you said, Joe. We'll get him on, you know, as soon as possible. Maybe during March. But we want to also recognize the fact that the leader of the Democrats in Congress, the minority, is a brother named Hakeem Jeffries. And he's related to Leonard Jeffries, Professor Jeffries out of New York City College. Strong brother. But this brother Jeffries, he gave a lecture or a presentation of acceptance of his nomination to be the minority leader. And that's a key position. And so we want to recognize him. And second, there's a brother named Mikael Bridges that played for the Phoenix Sun. This brother is collecting of donating and helping single mothers, because he grew up in a single mother home. And so he got a foundation that, you know, gives single mothers money and give them, you know, other type of support. So we got to recognize that excellence also, and that good, you know. But hey, that's it. And that was beautiful and deep, like what you brought forth, Joe. Machine, you got your hand up? Or is that just a mistake?
No, I might have made a mistake, sorry.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, Machinda, what you brought up, and, you know, sometimes Joe say, you know, politics is not just, you know, just a bunch of snakes, you know, snakes on a plane. But at the same time, Why do we feel that way? You know, like you were saying, Michelle, I'm not into a lot of that, but I work with them and blah, blah, blah. Why do you think we, if politics is one of the most important institutions in this society, and really on the planet to a certain degree, there's different types, as you know, monarchies, dictatorships, theocracies, as well as democracy. But seem like there's a reason why they discourage, demonize Black people who participated in politics, and at the same time discourage people by not following through with politics to provide them, to discourage them from voting and even wanting to know about politics. Politics, like I said, is war without violence, and war is politics with violence. So we're sitting here, as Joe brought out before, there's close to 2 or 3 million Black people in Somalia that's facing famine, while this country is sending billions of dollars to Ukraine and haven't sent hardly no money, if any, to Somalia to help Black people. And if we were in more of a political position to punish or reward people, we can get some of the social wealth here, which we are responsible for, blood, sweat, and tears. And that's why we demand reparations, because of the free labor they had and the companies that got rich from it, as well as the government that got rich from it and was able to sustain itself, to force them from a political standpoint, when you have political power, to do some of the issues, even dealing with the homeless. Those are political decisions. That's why Karen Bass said, when she got in the office, she wants to declare an emergency, and she did, and that they're going to start dealing with the homeless. Even the brother that just got elected in Long Beach. Long Beach is one of the richest cities out. The richest city is San Diego, and then it comes down to Long Beach, and then it's San Jose in California. But my point is that it's amazing when you talk to young people in public schools, there's no consciousness of who their representatives is, who the school board is. They don't even want to know. And the parents are not teaching them. And the streets are not teaching them. And at the same time, the system moves on. And that's why minorities rule. If only about 35% of Black people in this country vote, there's another 65% that's eligible to vote that don't vote. If they voted, they could change the South. But the South discourage them from voting, punish them when they do vote, or participate in politics. Michelle just outlined how this new young Black mayor, he feel, can make a difference. And I'm just wanting to get some feedback from y'all on what do y'all think about the notion that we should be more politically active or either not? What do you think, Brother Hembrick?
Well, to correct you on my saying that I used to say is truth, when it comes to politics, truth is just a word that rhymes with Baby Ruth. And I can't take credit for that. I took that from Brother Kaleem Akil back in the day. He used to put on political forums for Compton. But anyway, I like the opinions of Claude Anderson when it comes to politics, about how we got to put our stuff together in a voting block. Because number one, it's not enough of us, even in our own communities today, because our communities they've scattered. Everybody's out in the IE and different places. Even Compton can't claim to be too much of a black community anymore. They probably do voting wise because the Latinos haven't earned the vote yet. But then, you know, the powers that be that back folks that get in elections, like, for example, Tom Bradley being the mayor of L.A. for the number of years that he was, you know, constantly reelected when the black population in L.A. was never no more than 17%. So the powers that be, the hidden hand, kind of keeps folk in pocket, if you will. And, you know, when you get to a certain point where we really about to go over the wall, the powers that be tend to throw, you know, roadblocks in the way to, you know, prevent us from doing our camp. For example, Karen Bass is talking good, and we'll see what she did. Seemed like so far she didn't do nothing but move a few folks off the street, I guess in Venice, Culver City, where a large part of her constituency comes from. And we know out there that they're not the majority black people. And to address what you's with the kids, you're talking about, you know, the kids not being interested in voting and whatnot. Well, you know, the home has been just kind of broke up, not kind of broke up, seriously broke up. And, you know, when we were coming along, we were growing up, although our families may not have been that political, but almost every house had a picture of Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy up in there, and along with Jesus. That was our kind of political, at least in my household and a lot of my friends that I grew up with. But anyway, it's not enough of us unless we do it as a voting bloc. And I think that's the key. But one thing we can do, which I want to get back on Brother Martin Luther King, excuse me, Michael King, change his name Martin Luther after going to Europe. But anyway, his boycott can still be an effective tool. We don't use it hardly anymore that I can see out there amongst the black communities across the nation. I think the last time I saw a serious one is when the people got offended in Denny's, some black people, and then no black people were going to Denny's anymore. But today, what's that pizza, Papa John's pizza, the stuff they did to black people, and then we had a brother come behind it trying to clean it up. I don't know if he's doing it on his own or just a front man for Papa John's pizza. Is Shaquille O'Neal. You know, all these Papa John's commercials he's doing, trying to get black people back to eating Papa John's. So that, a lot of that kind of stuff is part of the reasoning why people view politics as they view it. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of regard for it, but I do vote. But I know what they say and what they do is usually two different things. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, what about you, Mashinda? What's your position? He gone? Mashinda, he's on. What about you, Rusty?
Well, I know that politics, it's the moving force, it's the governance. And if you're being governed, you should have stake in that governance. And supposedly the United States is for the people. So I think that you should be politically inclined and politically aware of what's going on that's driving everything that's pertaining to you. So I was listening to Professor James Smalls, and he was really inspiring. And it got me to thinking that we have to not only be politically aware, but we have to participate. And like Brother Joe was saying, voting in a block, we have to groom politicians to serve our interests. So that's something that we have to be, that has to become a part of our lives. The things that we participate in are not, I mean, a large amount of people, not only Black, participate in is things that are distracting them and not serving them in a way where they are politically inclined and aware. So we must become politically educated and participate in the process because it has to do with our daily living. So I think it's very important that we become more politically inclined and aware, and then also become a part of the process in the way that people like us can, we can begin to groom younger people to go in the areas of po politics. So they can, so we can have a stake in, matter of fact, the things that we want for ourselves.
Well, Malcolm X said, "Ballot or the bullet." You couldn't be more radical than Malcolm, and more conscious, and more disciplined, and more focused, and more of a deep thinker and courageous leader as Malcolm X. Second, you're going to have perpetrators of injustice, corruption. You're going to have collaborators. And you're gonna have victims. We've been victims. But we have some Black people that collaborate with whites. We've always had that throughout our history on the continent and here. So you gotta work around that. You know, it's big money. It's, you don't know, you know, it's big money in Uncle Tom, and it's big money in Southern. Now look at the Black people that were at the Republican Congress, that's in the Congress. I think it was two of them, and they t saying they don't believe in they don't believe that you should. They believe in a critical race theory, that you shouldn't be teaching about Black history. And that's what the guy did say in the interview. This is a Black Republican. Now that's a collaborator, as far as we're concerned, but we do vote in the block on national and statewide elections. It's local elections that we disagree with people, you know, for whatever reasons. So, you know, school board, city council, sometimes even the county supervisor. But for the most part, when it's come to state office and national office, like states, well, state senators and United States senators and United States Congress, well, Congress people to a certain amount. That's a national representative. And the only one that, only office that everybody vote for is the president. They don't vote for vice president. He chooses vice president. But that's the, when the whole country vote, and they only vote for one person, that's the president. Everybody else vote for their interests in their own state, own county, own city, and own district, and personally. So the politics is very important, but political science is something that has to be taught from a revolutionary and conscious way, not just a way of studying about voting and the nuances of running for office and doing those type of things in the history of American politics and Euro-American politics. When you take a political science class, that's all they talk about, you know, is Philadelphia ringing the bell and blah, 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 blah. We have to talk about using it as a tool in struggle and motivate people to be. I agree with Jody, a lot of Black people are not in their homes, but those homes that they are in should be political and political conscious. And one of the reasons is because the system has done a good job. Oppression make you don't want to participate in the political system because it's such a key system with regards to who's going to be spending the national treasure and who's going to provide social, national, federal assistance in solving problems and in doing things. And at the same time, dealing with social development and justice. So I agree with Joe about the collaborators and the people that we put in office sometimes don't do what they're supposed to do, but that's no reason not to struggle more. And building an alliance with other people and coalitions with other people. And trying to get into political position in which you can get a large part of your interest and focus taken care of. So that's what I see. So I appreciate that perspective. How do you respond to that, Joe?
Since you started out quoting Malcolm, I want to follow up with something else he said, that democracy ain't nothing but despised hypocrisy. He said that too. And I just want to get back to not our original, but our early turn of the 18th century about politics going back to W.E.B. and Booker T. And what our status was socially, economically, and politically at that time. Economically, we were doing much better. That was Booker T's thing. We don't need to, get into all of the political stuff. We need, we need economic development. We need entrepreneurship. And that's what was going on down there. And he got a lot of donations from white racist groups after he gave his Atlanta Compromise speech, when he said that socially we can be separate as the fingers on the hand, but as far as economics go, we need to be like a fist. And the Klan and everybody started sending him money because he was saying socially, we don't need to be around white folks, so to speak. And then, the King era comes in. Well, actually, that it was Garvey after that, and where it kind of really accelerated with us doing for self. And then with the integration movement, with the civil rights, we saw it dissipate immensely. But like I said earlier, I think the boycott can be a very powerful tool. In terms of getting some of these things done, and you ain't got to be political for that. You just got to be organized. But we need a group. We need a group like the Spirit in the book by Akili Omojo. We Will Shoot Back. I don't know if those of you that read the book remember the group that was called the Spirit. Like if they caught you going in, white folks' stores, you got visitors at your house that night. It would kind of let you know what time it was about crossing the line and supporting. But anyway, it's a long, been a long struggle and battle back and forth. And as far as the homes, even though these kids are not with their parents primarily, the group home, foster home, most of those situations are, people just got them kids to get that paper. They ain't really teach them, a whole lot of stuff. And those that do get moved on, like I had a mentor down in Florida, had a group for boys and a home for boys and a home for girls. And he was doing great down there. And a lot of mentors was coming in the program. And, the kids had to be involved in certain stuff. Excuse me. And then he took his boys to the Million Man March. And then them crackers moved on him and shut him down. He took it all the way to the Florida State Supreme Court and lost, and then came on back here to California. But, you know, and like with most cases, whenever we get something going, there's always some kind of covert operation to stop it from reaching its fruition. And that book, Race First, documents most of the things that have happened in the United States whenever, you know, Black people had stuff going on, like the Garvey movement and all that, how they used Du Bois to help undo Garvey. So it's a constant struggle, like you say, brother, all the time. But it is what it is. And just got to keep pushing and teach these kids some, you know, they got to get with some knowledge and some truth, you know, so they can see what's going on. You know, if you can't even see what's going on, it's hard to get in the fight. You don't know who to swing at, so to speak, or what to swing at. So I was talking to somebody over the phone, and they are really animated about people referring to you as boss. I know many of you go to restaurants and stores, and the people working, you know, might refer to you at that phrase. Hey, what's up, boss? And he's taking it to a thing where he's suing the businesses behind being addressed like that because of some rap, a few rap songs saying boss means sorry son of a bitch, backward masking, so to speak. And I was getting an argument with him about a little discussion, because whenever, you know, all the times that they address you as such, it's kind of like an endearment. It's not like, you know, they really calling you, the backward mask meaning of it. But he's going around suing companies and businesses behind that. I don't know. Just like if you see some youngsters and they call you OG, well, they ain't really claiming you original gangster. It's just like a term of endearment, you know what I mean? And I couldn't get that brother to see that. But I know that's his hustle, because he makes his living off suing folks. And so, but anyway, takes all kind. We didn't get her overnight. We ain't getting out of it overnight. But I still think the boycott can still be a viable means to us achieving our goals. That's it.
Well, you got protest politics and pressure politics, and it's still political. To organize, educate, mobilize, and organize education, mobilization, education, mobilization, and then confrontation. That's very critical. Even Martin Luther King and the Montgomery boycott, they had to educate the people. And like you said, there, you know, in certain situations you can punish people who break the rules or break the philosophy, like the outline in the book. But in the day, you know, I don't know how you can get away with that with the system defending Uncle Tom's and sellouts. I remember one time they wanted to outlaw the word Uncle Tom. They said that it was a demeaning to Black people, and they wanted to punish people for calling another Black people Uncle Tom, when Uncle Tom, the real Uncle Tom, was a resistor. You understand? And but the point is that the lack of education and consciousness. But you make some good points, Joe, as far as from the historical standpoint. But a lot of those people did fight for political and ran for political office. Booker T. Washington, and the whole process of him getting that institution, Tuskegee was a political thing. The same thing with even Marcus. It was a political situation in many ways in which he was able to mobilize all those people without television and radio and, do the things that he did as far as employment and as far as lifting the people's consciousness. It was all about getting power. All of them was about getting power. Even Booker T is about, our way to get ourselves self-empowered and group-empowered is to become people that do for self and work for self and develop skills and pull yourself up. Those are all things, aside from getting a house, a car, a dog, and a wife, a husband, and things of that nature. In those days, your politics is even in your house. How you make decisions in the house is a political one. Do you check with your wife first? Do your wife check with you? Is it a joint decision where you're going to go? How you going to save your money? What you going to do? Those are all political things. How you discipline your children. That's what people say, I run this house. You kids don't talk back to me. All that type of stuff. So politics is a part of not only electoral politics, but it's a part of you. How you govern yourself. Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? You got some people that just, if it ain't in the Bible, they don't do it. It's all spiritual. You understand? And then you got some people that's emotional. Then you have people that deal with faith, and you have people that deal with things intellectual, but there's some people that be holistic and take all into account and make a decision based upon their understanding of what is the right decision. So this politics is something that's ingrained in you as far as if you choose to participate in community politics, local politics, state politics, that's a personal decision. But even if you don't participate, you still are participating because of the situation, like you say, when you don't vote, you're helping the people that you don't want to win. And so it's a situation like that. Rachiki, you have any closing remarks?
No, I don't. Brother Mashinda came back.
Well, Mashinda, you have any closing remarks?
No, I had an important call. I had to get off, but I came back on. But no, not really. Other than I was taking in what was just said by Brother Hembrick and yourself about various things as it relates to politics and things like that. I made a statement earlier. This podcast is for, like to the masses, so, I'm not simply, I kind of want to retract, or restate it, so to speak, when I said for myself, getting behind the young brother, because usually I don't participate, I didn't mean it so cut and dry like that. I understand politics, I studied, I got degrees in public administration, public policy, and grew up in politics and been in part of boycotts, led marches, and so forth, so the struggle is huge. And so all that's politics, all like you say, and that's why I'm in agreement with what I'm hearing, is because everything we do, like you say, is, as far as, a decision, under the definition of kind of being, it's a political situation. But as far as, wasting my time, I think that's what I was talking about. I don't waste time with, deadbeat politicians and things like that. As far as, because people, it's like trying to go have a conversation with Kevin McCarthy about something. No, you have to be a strategist and go about it another way, try to get, change, or maybe to fulfill whatever you're trying, whatever goal you're trying to accomplish, because you're not going to be able to, you can't communicate with people like that. So that's kind of like, I personally, again, I don't waste my time with certain politicians or whatever. Of course, like voting, I didn't vote. I voted. I grew up voting. I grew up as soon as I can vote. I was raised that way, in a political family. And so I had to vote, you know, and thought it was a thing to do. And then it was a time when I got, you know, social conscious on other levels. You know, it's not so much, you know, I guess not having faith in the process is one thing, but it wasn't even that. It was more like, you know, I was on some other thing where, you know, that I you know, not only just for me, you know, I can accomplish outside of that, you know, although again, it's a long, it can be a long discussion on my part. So anyway, so to cut it short, you know, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Every, you know, things, everything is political in nature, and that, I think even at local politics in particular, it has an impact on certain things. Like I said, you know, now we're going to see what they're going to do with this tax base and do some things here. And again, it's, you know, and a lot of, there's a lot of energy behind it. So for the first time in a long time that, you have, there's a certain, interest in what goes on, you know, and of course the Caucasian counterparts, they don't want to, they're not willing participants. Some of them showed up to the events, but very few. And, you know, of course they white flighted out, that live outside the city limits. So, but they own property, they rent property and things like that. And they still want to have a input on what goes on, but they kind of lost their grasp. And so my point is their mind is made up, you know? So it's kind of like, so anyway, I'm just talking about how I use my energy, you know, try to use it wisely. You know, I'm getting older, so I try to be strategic in what I do, you know, and if I see an opening, I'll take advantage of that, you know, like a sports analogy, you know, if I see a hole, I'm breaking through there, you know, and so that's what I try to do in my own, within my own right, you know, but I appreciate the conversation tonight, and, you know, I'm good right now.
Good. Appreciate your perspective, brother. It's very important. Very key, because you deep in the South and you dealing with that Southern mentality. And because a lot of people say, why people go to the South or why they left the South, you know, because of the harshness and the lifestyle. But for a lot of people, you know, that's home. You know, that's where they were raised and that's where they are. You know, it's like pigeons that you make homies, you know, pigeon, you know, you let them go, they come right back. I mean, that's just their home. But anyway, Rasha Key, and then somebody got something burning, you can close it on out.
Yeah, I'd just like to say something right quick before we close out. I've been really getting into this book by Brother Asar Jabal, The Conspiracy of Silence. I recommend that reading to everyone listening. It's a great book. I can't put it down. But anyway, just want to mention that. Can't wait to get him back on the show.
Yeah, he's agreed to do that when he's in the country. And I'm reading it too, Joe. But Asar, see, I, you know, me and him are real close. And man, we went down to, when they shot this brother off the telepole in San Bernardino, me and him went down there to demonstrate against the Klan. Mm-hmm. And all black organizations, even the brother that wrote the book, his organization was there, Umoja. You know, we had about five different organizations that were into the movement, and we went down there. And the head of the Klan, San Diego Klan, was there, and they were on the side, and Jabal was ready to go right in there. I said, man, it ain't but two of us. You know? I had to, you know, because he was a serious brother. And his other two books are great, you know, and he helped in the start of the Black Consciousness Conference that's still going on in Long Beach. He did the artwork, as well as the demonstration in the Ronald Sells case and the demonstration in the, when he came back, Latasha Harden. I mean, you know, we, you know, so he's an activist, and but at the same time, he's a great, great, I got videos of him that we may show some of them on his first book and the second book. I don't have the third book, but I had him speak in my classes about his first book and about the second book. He got kicked out of his history teacher class because he was demanding that the history teacher teach the truth. And they called the police on him at Cal State Long Beach. And then he switched his major to Black Studies. And he was the electrician for the Compton Unified School District. So this brother is multi-talented, man, and multi-skilled. And he's, you know, he's a mature brother, older brother. He got a son, 12, that he had while he was in Cuba. He got two other sons, so he got four sons. And they used to get up on top of the roof and deal with astrology, him and his sons. And I'd go over his house and I'd look for them. They're on top of the roof with telescopes and stuff, and him and he's teaching them about the stars and the movement of the stars and the earth. Whew. And that brother was heavy. Then he feel heavy. So you're right, Joe. That book is excellent. It's about, he starts out talking about life as we know it is going to change. You know, the way the human family is today is about to change. And there's a strong possibility with these wars and famine and challenges that we face. Okay, brother Rasha Key.
So, Jerry Jabal. Mm-hmm. Excellent, brother. Yeah. Okay, who we got for next week, Professor Ra, on Monday? Are you doing a...
Oh, we're doing Martin Luther King.
Okay, so we got a... We're going to commemorate Martin Luther King. Okay.
Yeah, so everybody trying to find something that they want to say about King. You got to give him credit for what he done. Even if you disagree with what he done, you got to give him credit for it. I mean, you know, because a lot of people thought that the integration movement is a downfall. I sort of disagree with that, but, you know, the earth is integrated. You know, it's a European give you false concepts through laws, and laws segregate you, but the earth don't segregate you. As Jabal would say, and as Joe would say, nature, white horses and black horses run together. White cows and black cows live together. You know, humans on this earth live together, you know, and calling Mexicans immigrants, they're not immigrants, they're people of the earth. And if you fix up their country, then they wouldn't want to come over here instead of tearing it down and stealing all the resources. And, you know, as Joe's brought out, everything that go into making cars and keeping computers going is on the continent of Africa. Well, why? But the African people don't control it because of the militarism of this country and the exploitation of Russia and China. All of them over there, robbing the resources and corrupting the leaders. And so, you know, we got to face that. But anyway, Rasha Key, go ahead.
Okay, so on Wednesday of next week, we have Brother AK's niece. She's a professor. Her name is Dr. Ife Jai. And the topic is going to be hip hop centricity and culturally sustaining pedagogy. So that should be very interesting.
When is Make It Happen and her husband going to be?
We don't know yet. We're going to reschedule.
Oh, you have to reschedule?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let me say, and for closing, you know, the brother's supposed to have been on the night. You know, his mother just passed, so he's probably dealing with all of that. I talked to him yesterday. Yeah, brother, I killed Shabazz. Yeah, his mother passed, so it's in honoring his mother who produced a great family. You know. All right.
Yeah, so we're gonna reschedule them when they're ready.
All right.
Okay, so we're gonna leave with Conscious Corner, and each one teach one. Everybody have a good evening.
All right, brother.